Welcome to Tech Talk, y'all.
I'm starting?
You're starting.
Okay. We don't have to wait for a countdown this time. It just kind of goes. So,
you want me to count you down?
Yeah. I want you to count me down.
Okay. 17. 16. 15. 14.
And welcome to Tech Talk, y'all. Episode 314. It's the pie episode. And I'm Sanjay Parekh.
And I'm Adam Walker. And we have some random articles for you today. And then, of course, some pie related things in Weird and Wacky.
Right. Because it is the pie episode.
It is. Yeah. And we're recording live today because we just had the opportunity and we're sitting in a conference room and we're recording and people are looking through the glass windows at us like we're insane. So,
which that is correct. And we also have a great view of the Atlanta highways
and traffic.
And traffic.
Yeah,
and
lots
we're
of traffic.
Glad to not be in that traffic. But this is our first time recording in person in over three years, right?
Since years.
The pandemic started. Yeah. We've been doing remote only. We used to be live only before.
Yeah.
And then we've been remote only.
Yeah, it's good.
So it's
good
fun
to see your face.
Yeah. It's fun to be together.
Yeah. It's great. So you're ready to dive in?
Yeah. Let's dive in. What's not fun is MailChimp is shutting down Tiny Letter.
Mm. And I know you love Tiny Letter.
I do love Tiny Letter.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest, I haven't actually used Tiny Letter in
years.
Quite some
years.
Time.
Yeah.
Because I moved off onto my own platform for the website.
Right.
But I thought it was really well done. What's funny about Tiny Letter is MailChimp bought Tiny Letter from Pud, who's the guy that did F Company way back in the day.
Yep.
He started up Tiny Letter. They bought it a number of years ago.
Right.
And then it
just kind of let it sit there.
Stagnated a bit. I think they moved it onto the MailChimp infrastructure.
Right.
But it was a great service for people that wanted to run personal newsletters because up to 5,000 people you could have on a list for free.
And I feel like it was like more, it was almost similar to Substack in some ways, right? It's like very simple, very streamlined.
Yeah.
You build your list, you just pop it out there. Not nearly as complex as MailChimp. But I mean, when any company gets bought by a big company like Intuit, like they're going to start killing off all the small stuff as fast as possible. So
yeah, because they're like, it's not worth the engineering time and the dollars to support this.
I'm kind of surprised it took this long to kill it off, honestly.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
but you actually make a really interesting point is that I wonder if they could have made Tiny Letter Substack before Substack existed.
Oh, for sure.
And taken over that market.
Yeah.
And if it had had the kind of.
They missed a huge opportunity there.
Yeah.
Huge opportunity there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, Substack they could have gotten to $13 billion on that exit instead of just 12.
I mean, a measly 12.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. So, all right. Google's new geothermal energy project is up and running. I think we talked about this many episodes ago, if I'm not mistaken.
A year ago.
And
maybe,
now
more.
it's running. So that's the big that's the big news.
So they're going to power their data centers using this geothermal energy.
Right.
What's the goal? Is it 100%? It's 100% renewable for their data centers, right?
Yeah. I don't remember the goal for the geothermal part, but I believe that's the goal. Yeah.
But probably I would imagine it's a mix between wind and solar and geothermal.
It seems likely. Yeah. Seems likely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's good.
Interesting. News. That's good.
Moving on.
What's also not good, I mean, that was good, but this is not good.
Ooh.
It's official. Evernote will restrict free users to 50 notes. Get your stuff off Evernote.
Let me suggest a different title. It's official. Evernote will be closing down soon.
Like,
yeah. That's really...
Yeah.
And I saw this coming, right? Like, as soon as they got bought...
Once they were acquired,
I got my notes off as soon as they were acquired because I was like, this is going to go downhill fast.
Yeah.
And sure... And I was on the free plan, which, you know, at the time, too.
I am, too.
I've used the premium before. I had moved to the free because the premium just wasn't very valuable. And now, I mean, they're going to make the free plan basically worthless. I mean, it's basically a freemium, like very limited freemium model at this point. It's not, why would they ever get any new users? Like ever?
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
So contrast that with what we do at Together Letters.
Yeah.
I think we do a great freemium.
Yeah.
10 users or less every other week are free forever.
Yeah,
and we're not going to take that away from you.
Right.
But here's the funny thing. I have tons of notes on Evernote.
Mm-hmm.
I have not migrated them off because honestly, I haven't looked at any of them in forever.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if I actually need them.
Yeah.
So I should probably go through and pick through. There's probably a few things in there like, okay, this would be useful to save.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I want to do a wholesale download and save.
I cleaned mine up. So I cleaned them up first and got like, and they were like whole notebooks. I was like, I'll never need that. Delete. It's gone. I never want to remember that, you know, like that whole category of my life I need gone. So I deleted.
But do you reflect back and be like, why did I spend all that time putting that in there in the first place?
I reflect back on lots of things and be like, why did I ever do that whole thing in the first place? But that's a different conversation.
Yeah.
But then I used, there's a migration tool to go from Evernote into Notion. So then I did that tool and then I went from Notion into Obsidian. Because there's not
a direct... Is that the path that you have to do?
Yeah, there wasn't a direct from Evernote to Obsidian path. So I did Evernote to Notion, Notion to Obsidian. And it worked pretty well and it got enough and I was good to go. So it made me happy.
Enough of the stuff that you're probably never going
to
look at.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely. Yeah.
Well, that's good to know because I need to probably do the same path. Mm-hmm. So Notion is the intermediate step in between Evernote and Obsidian.
Now you know.
And we've recommended Obsidian multiple times, on this podcast.
So great.
If you need a new note-taking tool, check out Obsidian. It is so well done.
Easy.
And the add-ons are fantastic. Yeah. There's some that
are just so good.
Incredible.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Speaking of add-ons or add-on fees, Google agrees to pay Canadian news outlets $100 million annually in rare win for media industry. So they're going to go the opposite of Facebook and they're going to pay the media outlets. Whereas Facebook's like, screw you. We'll just block all your news.
But they said the same thing before too. They were like, well, we're not going to pay. That's ridiculous.
I guess the ROI of that $100 million investment is that they'll get more click-throughs and sell more ads, more than $100 million in ads. And I guess that's the payoff. But I feel like this sets up a really dangerous precedent where you're saying to a website that is sending people free traffic, that, hey, we're gonna, in addition to sending free traffic to all these places, you have to also pay them to send traffic to them. Like it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. Like I think it's a terrible idea. It's gonna go badly long term.
So by the way, I just looked up because I was curious what the population of Canada is.
Okay.
It's 40 million people. So basically Google's paying $2.50 per Canadian citizen. Canadian citizen for this new stuff. The numbers don't feel right
again,
to me, right?
Like that, $100 million seems like a terrible idea.
For 40 million.
That seems like a terrible idea.
Right?
Like that doesn't make any sense.
I don't
at
understand
all.
What's happening here.
Yeah, I don't
understand their calculations. I know they're never going to do this, but it'd be really nice if they shared their math as to why they decided to make this calculation and pay this money. Somebody else who's been calculating, and positioning.
I don't get this.
Microsoft secures a non-voting board seat at OpenAI.
Okay. Sanjay, listen, I know you know this space way better than I do. I understand Microsoft.
It also doesn't make sense to me.
I understand them getting a board seat.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand the value of a non-voting board seat. It's like you get to like talk about the decision that's going to be made and then not make the decision like that. Seems like a,
there's
you're in the room, I guess. Is that the
you're in the room where it happens? Yeah. Call back to Hamilton there.
You're the biggest investor in the company.
Right.
And you get a non-voting board seat?
That does seem a little weird. But that said, even non-voting board members have a lot of sway.
Yeah.
Because they're in the room.
Yeah.
You hear the things that are happening that are sometimes not shared publicly.
Right.
So that's the value there.
Yes. Yeah.
It is a board seat, which is interesting.
Well, and this
because
is
a lot of times they're just there's another word for it. It's like
advisory board
observer.
Oh, observer.
There are allowed to be board observers instead of board
seats.
So non-voting board seat is kind of
an observer. It's just fancy. But is this for the nonprofit though? Because that might that's part of it. Like maybe they can't have an investor in the for-profit company as a board member on the nonprofit.
I don't think
maybe that's
think
the problem.
So because this is an OpenAI.
Yeah, but the board that voted him off was the nonprofit board.
Right.
That's who had the power to vote.
I think OpenAI is the it is so convoluted. I think it's really hard to understand what's happening here.
Yeah, okay.
Honestly. Like, I don't think I know the name of the nonprofit.
Maybe it is OpenAI. I'm not entirely sure. That's a great
point. I thought OpenAI was the name of the for profit.
I don't know.
Because ChatGPT is the product
right.
OpenAI. That's what they always say.
Yeah.
So OpenAI.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay.
So what's probably, I don't the know. Name of the, I don't know.
We'll have to ask ChatGPT
later. These people make everything so confusing, I feel like.
I mean, I feel like the concept of having a nonprofit that spins off a for-profit company but is governed by nonprofit ideals is a really interesting and great concept.
Right.
Until you hit a certain scale of revenue, and then it's terrifying. And that's what happened here is like it was an interesting idea.
Right.
And then it went like grew like wildfire, and it's literally changing the entire world. And now you have this weird infrastructure that is not fully functioning well.
Right.
You
know? Yeah. I think it's because of what they're trying to do, because the alternate is what we talked about many episodes ago, is Patagonia, which was a for-profit company, which was the founder gave away to a nonprofit.
Right.
With the express purpose.
I like
purpose,
that better.
Right.
I like that model better.
Of the money being used to protect the environment and save humanity. Well,
and as a for-profit company, you've got, I feel like you've got more control, so you can steer it in the direction you want. I mean, that's why Sam Altman was able to be fired, because he didn't have that level of control that he would normally have if it was just a regularly structured company.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the danger.
Well, and the other reason to do the for-profit inside of the nonprofit is that, you know, when you have a nonprofit, you're restricted in terms of what you're allowed to do by the IRS.
Yeah, true.
Right. You've got to ask the IRS, like, hey, I want to do this. This is not a part of our original charter. Am I allowed to do this?
Right.
And if they don't see that it's doing something that's specifically for the good, then they won't allow you to do that.
Yeah.
But if you do it as a for-profit that's owned by the nonprofit, and you just pay all the taxes in the for-profit, the IRS can't say anything
that's
about
true.
It because it's like you're paying your taxes.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Nothing it is do. What it is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
At that point. So that's what I find interesting about the Patagonia example, because they're going to still be able to continue business. They don't have to ask permission from anybody to do the government being the anybody to do anything, but the money is still going to flow up and go into good purposes.
If I had to pick, I would pick that example better. So
somebody that's been spending a lot of time thinking about things, why I spent 3 years working on a coat hanger. This could have been in Weird and Wacky, by the way. Did you watch the video?
I didn't have time to watch the video or a proper internet connection this morning. So walk me through this one.
It is fantastic. So this young woman spent 3 years coming up with a coat hanger that folds so that you can have hanging clothes on a rail that is close to the wall. So you have to have some certain distance away for the rail from the wall. But then if you live in a small apartment, like you're just eating up space at that point. Or if you're in, say, an RV.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently nobody really made a good folding hanger.
Okay.
And in the video, listeners, you should go watch the video. It is fascinating. I think it's like 5 or 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
She shows like the first prototype, and then she shows like a wooden prototype, and she's like, these are good, but if you drop it, it breaks, and it's really expensive to manufacture.
Right.
They iterated 124 or something like that. Or no, over 200 different variations of this idea, manufactured prototypes to be able to get to that final end result.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, it's pretty
fascinating.
Well done. And this is on Kickstarter right now.
Okay.
It has blown past the targets that they had. And I think the set of hangers actually comes with a rail that you can install that you can then modify. If it's too long, you can cut it down and mount it so that you can have a hanging spot.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I just clicked through the video and it's like this little hanger, and like you just fold your clothes in half and like it which I mean, makes sense. Like you hang them up, they're straight.
Yeah.
You fold them in half. They're still straight. It's great.
So she's been inventing other things too. I kind of went through the store that she's got there.
Yeah.
There's one that's a gold star for the day. Like make sure you do the same thing, you know, for however many days in a row.
Yeah.
So basically it's an electronic display and you can touch. It's capacitive touch.
Ooh,
and it lights up. And so you have it for every day. The only quibble I have with this product, because next year is going to be leap year, is there is no February 29th. It only goes to the 28th.
Yeah,
so it works for 3 out of 4 years.
Yeah,
But anyways, it has all the days. And if it loses power and gets plugged back in, it remembers the state that it was
smart.
In. So you don't lose all your gold stars from the entire year.
Cool.
But if you've got like a habit that you want to do.
Yeah, I do. I love those things. Yeah.
For, you know,
I have like
year
several habits. I need to like buy 5 of those points. So,
but visually you get to see like where you're at and how well you've been doing. So,
okay.
It's pretty good. I think she's somebody to keep an eye on. She's going to be inventing some neat stuff. I think
she's a smart individual right there.
Yeah, smart cookie.
All right. Next up, Trader Joe's wants all profits in trademark lawsuit against Trader Joe DeFi platform. So apparently, what is DeFi? Like it's a DeFi platform.
Decentralized finance. So it's crypto.
Okay. So it's great. So there's a Trader Joe DeFi platform. They're making some money and Trader Joe's is pissed and they want all the profits, which I feel like, come on, man. Like, why are you wasting your time with
this? So here's so funny.
Okay.
They actually had a complaint at the, whatever the international organization is that deals with this kind of stuff. So, they sued and said like, look, this is trademark infringement. They're trading on our good name.
Right.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
And initially it came back saying like, no, we don't see the issue here. You're a retail store. They are decentralized finance.
Right. Yeah.
It's fine. They didn't. And one of the guy's names, the brother's name is Joe. So he's Trader Joe.
He's Trader Joe. He's trading. It's a,
okay. Yeah, okay. So they won.
Okay.
And then they got cocky. They posted in a newsletter or on their website that, we picked this name because we wanted to take advantage of the goodwill of Trader Joe's.
No.
And so now Trader Joe's has gone back and said like, this is what they said publicly. So here you go.
Oh my gosh.
Here's the thing. If you're going to do something like this, maybe don't admit that you're doing it.
For real. And certainly don't post it publicly.
How dumb are you?
In your marketing materials.
How dumb are you?
I mean, oh my gosh.
Pretty dumb.
Yeah.
Because like, why?
That's insane.
Why are you going to spend your time fighting and defending this?
Yeah. Like
instead of just picking up another name.
Just go do your thing, man.
Like there's other names.
Yeah.
We're not out of names.
Trader Bo. You could be Trader Bo. You know? Just pick up a new nickname. You're fine.
Trader Joe. Trader Joe's that's the Trader. Trader Henry?
Trader Henry.
Trader Thoreau.
Trader Thoreau.
Yeah. That's it. I don't think Henry David Thoreau is going to come out.
He's probably not going to sue you. His estate could. I mean, his
estate could. Does he have an estate? Maybe he has an estate.
Yeah.
On Walden Pond. Last up before Weird and Wacky, the U.S.'s first EV charging road powers on in Detroit. And I'm here to tell you, I think this is dumb.
Really?
I actually do think this is dumb.
So you don't see the future of EV being powered roads where it charges the EV as you're going, like intermittently, like on an interstate? Like you don't think that's...
So
that's not the future.
I used to think that this might be the future.
Okay.
Because it would lead us down to like smaller batteries.
It feels
and things
like
that.
The future. Yeah. Okay.
But I feel like this is going to hold back advancements in battery technology that could get us to places that
way
might
beyond
be better.
That. Yeah.
Plus.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen research, but there is a link between high power voltage lines, power lines, and childhood leukemia.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got these roads that are constantly doing this inductive charge, these magnets.
True. Yeah.
I don't know how good I feel about riding on top of them.
That's a great point. Yeah.
I mean, I know the car is basically a Faraday, well, not fully, but a cage that should protect me from most of those magnetic fields, but it's not 100%.
Right.
And so, we've done this to ourselves in so many different ways, like forever chemicals, PFAS, PFOS.
Yeah.
Like, are we just about to induce more cancer into ourselves just so we can get a quick ride to places?
That's a really interesting point. I mean, I also wonder about the cost, like how cost prohibits it too. I mean, it's expensive to put this stuff in.
Right.
So the payoff is going to take, I mean, a very long time. And historically, as a culture, we're not usually willing to invest in something that's going to take decades to pay off. Like
right.
Like
because we don't. Yeah. How's this going to help me now? Now?
Yeah. We're not.
Why am I going to spend this money now?
We don't tend to think in the U.S. anyway, we don't tend to think generationally. We tend to think like, you know, next 3 years sort of thing.
And so they do in other places, like in Europe, they do because they've got a longer history. Oh, so they think about those things. But I think this is one of the downfalls of kind of the way we think about things here in the U.S.
I mean, even like it always irks me, like even like buildings, like we build, I mean, like think about like the Georgia Dome, like we built the Georgia Dome.
Right.
And it's like, it's 25 years old or 30 years old or whatever. And it's like, well, it's too old. We got to tear it down and build something bigger. And I'm like, well, do we? Like, I mean, yeah, maybe the revenue makes sense. Like maybe it does. Right. Maybe you will make more money. Okay, but like maybe you should have built it better in the first place.
Right.
You know, like maybe, or maybe
spend bigger, that
like,
just a little bit more.
Yeah. Like I feel like we should be building things like with generations in mind, right. Not like a decade.
I've traveled around in Europe and sometimes, you know, they'll point out like, oh, you know, this building over here, it's new. It's a new building. I'm like, how old is that building? Oh, it's 400 years old. Yeah. Exactly. It's a new building.
Yeah. Well, I've been to other countries where it's like, if you're going to build a building, mm-hmm. these are the three materials you can use and you've got to be ready. It's got to be able to last like generations. Like that's right. That's the building requirement. Yeah. That's the building code.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I like that building code. Like that's a good way to think about it. So I don't know. We're just missing out.
Abominable snowman.
He's not an axe murderer.
One of the TAs turned out to be a bot.
All right, first up in Weird and Wacky, and man, this is fantastic. So Brazilian city enacts an ordinance that was secretly written by ChatGPT. So the lawmaker created the ordinance, yep. used ChatGPT, I think it was he, used ChatGPT to write the ordinance, did not tell the governing body that it was written by ChatGPT.
Did not modify it in any way.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't really, didn't, okay.
Didn't touch it.
It's even better.
It was straight from ChatGPT.
Straight from ChatGPT. And they 100% voted on it. It was bipartisan, 100% voted on it. It's voted in. And then he reveals, oh, by the way, this was written by ChatGPT. And he did that because they would not have voted it in otherwise. And it would have been a good piece of legislation that didn't get voted in just based on the fact that it was written by an AI.
Right.
So,
and it was 35 of this person's peers. So 36 person council.
Yeah.
They all voted it in and did not know.
I really want to know what the writing prompt is for that. Like you are a lawmaker in whatever you're writing this. Like it's, I hope it was a very detailed, robust prompt. Writing prompt. Yeah. Like I don't know if you realize like, So I've seen some videos. You can create writing prompts for ChatGPT that are like 1,000 words. And like you can actually input variables.
Oh,
and
wow.
Like create, you can like actually create variables with ChatGPT. And then you can have like this prefab prompt that's like when company does, and like company is a variable defined earlier. Like you can do all kinds of crazy stuff with it.
Really?
So like maybe it's going that far. I don't know, but I hope it was a decently thoughtful input.
That would have been nicer to the article if they'd actually provided the prompt that was used.
Yeah, the best prompt would be like, I live in Brazil, write a law to make things better. Like that's done. Okay. We can do that. So hopefully not.
Just one law.
Yeah.
Now, finally, we've come to the portion of the show that's about pie stories because this is the pie episode.
So these aren't technology related, but
these are pie.
And probably this next one is by far my favorite article that we've covered, maybe in some years. I don't even know. It's amazing.
Okay. So first up, woman bakes cheeky curse word pies for her grandma and it becomes a quirky holiday tradition.
Yeah. Did you go look at the photos?
I'm looking at it right now because we found it just before we started recording. So I haven't seen the the article yet.
Initial reactions to the photos, go.
These are interesting. I'm getting further down.
Yeah.
These are probably not ones you're ever going to find, and I cannot repeat the names of any of these.
No.
You're not going to find in a store. Although I gotta say, I feel like if you started a pie store with these kinds of pies,
oh my gosh,
people would probably come and buy them.
You'd make so much money. Like, so, all right. So
you couldn't show them in the display though.
No. So a couple of quick thoughts. Number one, these pies look delicious.
They do.
Number two, like some of them look like legit works of art. Like I've never seen a pie that looks as amazingly designed as some of these do. And number three, you can very clearly read the very inappropriate words across the pie in a very clear font. So there you go. It's got all kinds of anatomy and curse words and everything else going for it. So,
but you're right. Like the tops of these pies
are unreal.
Really well done. Like the spirals that are in some of these.
I know.
Honestly, I don't know that I've seen a pie that has a crust top that's spiraled like that.
I've never seen that before. It's wild.
I'm really getting hungry for some pie right now.
I need some pie. Yeah.
It's only going to get worse with this next story.
All right, next story. Pumpkin and apple pie dominate Thanksgiving. See what pie your state searches for most. So I have not done the search yet. What's the top pie for Georgia? Did you look yet?
The top pie for Georgia is apple, which is very appropriate.
Okay.
But I need to know what a hot pie pie is, because that's the hot one in Hawaii and Mississippi. Ooh. What's wrong with you? You're the only one with sweet potato pie.
I have a problem here.
What's your problem?
So I'm seeing lots of apple pie.
That's the right answer, by the way.
I'm seeing lots of pumpkin pie.
Uh-huh.
I'm not seeing any pecan pie. Not even a one. None. Zero.
Well, this is really a 30-day range leading up to Thanksgiving. So October to November.
So pecan pie.
But no, apple pie is the right answer. I don't understand what you're saying.
There's only one right answer when it comes to Thanksgiving pie, and it is clearly apple.
Well,
A for apple. A is in winning. That's the only answer.
That's what you want to get on your papers at school is an A.
Yeah.
Apple pie.
So you love apple pie.
Just for Thanksgiving, all year round.
I'm
going
to need to make you my apple crisp. If you like apple pie, I make an apple crisp that I think you would enjoy. Yeah. I'm going to need to make it.
Growing up, a little side story here, mm-hmm. growing up, and I know this is not real apple pie, but
okay.
McDonald's apple pie was the best. The enclosed,
I can see that,
too hot thing. Yeah, and then sometime they tried to go healthy here in the US.
Yeah.
And now you have this like baked Frankenstein thing that's got slits and cinnamon. It's awful. Outside of the US, they still sell the old fried apple pie.
Interesting.
Where the contents, it says, caution, contents may be hot.
Yeah.
It's hot.
Like molten lava.
It will burn your mouth off.
Yeah.
You will have no tongue for a day or two after that.
Right. Yeah.
I will occasionally partake in a apple pie from McDonald's outside of the US because.
Right. What about the apple pie down from the Varsity? Do you like the Varsity apple pie?
I got to admit, I've never had a Varsity anything.
You're an apple pie guy.
Never had it.
Come on, man.
I've heard so much about the Varsity. And they're
it's like I don't even know you.
Walking dogs.
It's like I don't even know you. Yeah.
Frosted OJ or something. I don't know. I've never had any of that stuff.
You've never been to the Varsity?
I've never been to the Varsity. I've never stepped foot in the Varsity.
Oh my gosh. I feel like my head is about to explode. You went to Georgia Tech and you've never been to the Varsity. We're going to have a field trip. Like, that's just unacceptable. So, all right. Well, moving on.
Tech wreck. Time to get your tech wreck.
Tech wreck.
Tech wreck.
All right, Sanjay, tech rec time. What do you have for us today?
So, in the past, I have talked about how I lament the fact that I can't see stars here in Atlanta anymore, right?
For real.
The nighttime, the light pollution, everything.
Yep.
Well, I stumbled upon a site that can help with that. It's called Dark Hotels.
What?
And it is a mashup of the night light pollution and places and hotels that you can stay at, Airbnbs and hotels.
What?
And it is a mashup site that adds all of that together. So you can actually go and find a place that can hook you up with a place to stay where you can actually see the stars at night. It's super
that
cool.
That's kind of amazing because I've always wanted to go find a place where I can see more stars.
Right.
But I've never I always just assume they're in the middle of nowhere. Like my guess is they're just in the middle of nowhere. It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
But
it's not that far.
Yeah. I think like based on this, like maybe I can find a spot. That's amazing.
Right. So you look at Atlanta and you really only have to go out a few hours maybe.
Yeah.
To get to a point, but you can look at all the hotels and be like, hey, I'm going here or I'm going there.
Yeah.
Where should I go to be able to actually see the night sky, be able to see the Milky Way? Years ago, we were in Australia and we went out at night.
Yeah.
And if you look at Australia on this dark hotels thing, you can see there's really only light pollution near the big cities on the coast.
Yeah.
And then if you go even a little bit inside, you can see everything.
It's magic.
I don't know that I've ever seen the Milky Way with the naked eye. And you could see that there in Australia in the night sky, like the purple of the Milky Way. We had gone out to go see night animals.
Yeah.
It was a guided tour.
Yeah.
And I got to admit, I was more enthralled with what was above.
The animals. Yeah. Forget those animals. Like, turn off those headlights, man. What you doing?
See that too, but what's going on up there?
That's
like, it was hard to see constellations because there were so many stars. It was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
I've never seen that before.
That's a trip I dream of taking, like a trip to just to see that somewhere. Yeah. Like
and we've got places here in the U.S. like some of these national parks that are way off the beaten path that you can see all of these things.
Okay,
and I got to tell you, it makes you really feel like, oh, you are minuscule in the universe.
Very small.
When you see like the Milky Way and like all of those stars.
Yeah.
Because we walk around here in Atlanta and like I struggle to see even a dozen stars at night.
You can barely see Orion at night. Like that's and like it's super bright. You can barely see it, you know, half the time.
You know, you mentioned Orion. I don't know that I've seen Orion's belt in probably years now at this point. I haven't noticed it in a long, long time at this point. I used to see it all the time growing up as a kid.
Yeah.
In
Kentucky. I see it a lot.
Do you see it a lot? Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm not paying enough attention.
Yeah. You know.
But what about you? What do you have for us this week, Adam?
Okay, so it's holiday time. We got a couple Christmas trees at the house.
Yep.
And I decided that I need to be able to turn all of the Christmas trees on and off with my Google Home.
How many Christmas trees do you have?
So we actually have, I think, like five total.
Christmas trees.
Well, we have two in the main part of the house, like one in the living room, one in the foyer. And then like we got a little one in my bedroom, a little one in some of the kids' bedroom, like that kind of thing. And so I decided to buy the Govee, their Govee smart outlets. So Govee they make some like smart devices. They make some lights and stuff.
Right.
And so I'm recommending this for two reasons. Number one is the outlets work really well. The app to set up the outlets is really well done. I've got them on a timer. So they all come on.
Nice.
At 6 in the morning. They all go off at like 9:45 at night. You can integrate them with Google Home. I have not gotten them integrated with Apple HomeKit yet. I've got to figure that out. I think there might have to be an in-between device for that to make it work, but I can figure it out.
Right.
I know it's doable. The other thing is they have like other like smart lights that kind of compete with the Philips Hue lights, but are much cheaper.
Okay.
They also have a smart water kettle for making like coffee pour overs and tea where you can like be like, hey, Google, turn on my kettle and it'll turn it on and heat it up to the exact temperature you want and like do all kinds of cool stuff. So like, I'm kind of like geeking out over like all the different stuff they've got and I kind of want to get a bunch of it now. So
I feel like I've rubbed off on you in the last few weeks with all the smart home stuff.
Yeah, you might. Yeah. I got four outlets and I'm already like, I think I need four more. but they've
you
even
made
got,
fun of me for turning the shredder
off.
I know.
But look, they've even got cool stuff like the shredder. So they've got a device that senses vibration.
Yeah.
Like for example, you attach it to a garage door, it'll know when your garage door moves and then you can auto trigger a lamp in your living room to come on when you open your garage door or open your whatever.
I've been wanting something for the mailbox. I'm on the hunt for the right solution for the mailbox to know when the mail gets delivered.
I mean, I think they have a very small device that I think it would sense when the mailbox moves and then you can get notified or whatever.
There's a few people that make those vibration ones for something like that. I'm just trying to find the right one that I don't have to keep replacing batteries every month or something like that that'll last long enough.
I don't know how long the batteries last long, but I'm very interested in it.
Yeah.
And so like, cause like I like the idea of like every time somebody opens the front door, turn on the lamps. Like that's a helpful thing, you know? So I'm about to go down the rabbit hole. It's going to be dangerous, but I'm going to need to buy some more Govee stuff.
I love this.
The app is so well done. It's actually, I would say the Govee app is easier to use and easier to set up than Google's Home app is. It works.
Really?
It's simple. Huh. It's easy. It works. It just works. So I love it. All right, Sanjay, how can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can find me at sanjayparekh.com. What about you, Adam?
Find me at adamjwalker.com. It's got links to everything else. And I'm going to start a new newsletter soon, so stay tuned. I'll be promoting it on adamjwalker.com. Doo-doo-doo.